You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome along to the Punt Podcast from William Hill. A big weekend of Premier League football to get stuck into. We're going to focus on the five televised matches. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined first of all by Punt regular Derek McGovern. How are you, sir?
Very, very well, yes. Looking forward to the weekend games as always.
Good stuff. We're also joined by the Daily Mail's Craig Hope. Welcome along, Craig. Are you well?
I'm very good, yes. And Newcastle's about to break the transfer record, so I'm all the better for that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in a moment when we come on to the Tottenham-Newcastle game. But I imagine you're in good spirits at the moment, given the midweek action and potential transfer records being broken.
Well, what a surprise it's been. I mean, we were sat with Rafa on Monday afternoon, and it was a very... very tense, very agitated exchange without sort of wanting to shine light on magic. Us written journalists get a little separate sitting with Rafa Benitez after his main television press conference. And there we really pressed him on his future, and he was very non-committal, which is why you woke up on Tuesday morning the headlines of the nature that Rafa, considering his future, refuses to commit beyond the end of the week, really. And it was all very negative. Then come Tuesday afternoon, you've got news leaking of the club about to break the transfer record. We've only waited 14 years for Mike Ashley to do it, but anyway, better late than never. And then come the end of the day, it finishes with Rafa Benitez reflecting on it, a come-from-behind 2-1 victory over Manchester City. So, listen, that's just another day in the life of this crazy football club. It keeps us all in jobs, so I'm not complaining.
At least it's not boring, eh?
Definitely not.
Before we get into Newcastle's game against Spurs, which we're going to come on to in a moment or two, let's just have a quick chat about the Premier League title race, because it kind of swung back and forth a little bit throughout the week. Man City lost to Newcastle. Liverpool from there would seemingly go and beat Leicester, open up a 7-point gap at the top of the Premier League, have one hand on the trophy and all that, but it didn't quite go to plan. They drew 1-1. Still extended that lead though, Derek. I just can't help feeling that they've missed a bit of a chance.
Well, the faces on the fans at the end of the game told you that as well, didn't they? It's hard to work who was where. City on the Tuesday night, so Liverpool on the Wednesday. It's shocking. I've come to the conclusion, actually, that the title will not be won this season. That's how bad they were.
Has squeaky bum time come early, perhaps? I mean, there's, you know, both teams look nervous, didn't they?
Yeah, it has. Well, it certainly has at Anfield. It's been like that. It's been like that, to be honest, since about November. I've never known a crowd so jittery so early on in a season. It's been so long, Liverpool, since he won the title. So that's why. And it's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's going to get more tense as the season goes on. It sounds perhaps a bit silly to say this, Craig, but, you know, does that help City in a way, the fact that they've seen Liverpool wobble a little bit when they had a chance to go further ahead, and does it give City new belief to maybe chase after Liverpool a bit?
Well, it does, but, I mean, Derek mentioned there that Liverpool were nervous against Leicester, and they've been nervous for a long time. I was at the City-Newcastle game on Tuesday night, and City were the opposite of that, in fact. They were more complacent. There wasn't that edge of anxiety about them. I think if there had been, they might have gone on to win the game. They scored after 24 seconds. And in a strange way, that killed them. I think if they'd scored after 24 minutes, shall we say, and they'd built up a head of steam, then they would have gone on to get two or three or four even. But no, there was a strange performance the other night. It was almost as if they were going through the motions. They scored so early and just assumed they would go on to victory, as I must admit, everybody inside the stadium did. But yeah, listen, I watched the Liverpool game last night, and they were edging. The one thing I'll say about Liverpool is, where they're at a disadvantage to City, is that they play those guys every week. They're playing Firmino, they're playing Mane, they're playing Salah, and credit to them. You know, as a football fan, you sign up for that. You want to see the best players week in, week out. But we've got the Champions League coming back in 2.5, 3 weeks' time. And I think then an injury or two, certainly one of Salah or Mane, combines with the nerves around Anfield and around the supporter base, given how long it is since they last won the title. I think you could begin to see Liverpool stutter, and City have certainly got the resource to take advantage of that.
It's 4-9 for Liverpool to go on and win the Premier League. Man City are 13-8 as it stands at the moment. Could see it change again at the weekend. City with a relatively tough game against Arsenal, and West Ham are the hosts for Liverpool. We'll move on to those games shortly, but let's get stuck into the first of the Premier League games this weekend. 12:30 kickoff at Wembley on Saturday lunchtime as Tottenham Hotspur take on Newcastle. Tottenham 2-5, the draw 7-2. Newcastle are 15-2. Spurs still without Harry Kane and Dele Alli, but Son was back on Wednesday evening, and he got on the score sheet as well, so things perhaps looking up for Tottenham. They ended a tough week really with a 2-1 win over Watford, and Son, we mentioned that he's back there. He's got a good record recently, eight goals in his last nine Spurs appearances. They've won their last three games against Newcastle. So you can see why the betting is so lopsided, but Newcastle arrive here buoyed, of course, by that 2-1 win over Man City in midweek. They look set to break their transfer record with the signing of Miguel Almiron. They're also linked to a couple of other players as well, Antonio Barreca and Andreas Samaris. We'll come to you, Craig. We've mentioned it a little bit to start with, but you know, given the feel-good factor around Newcastle at the moment and the injury problems for Spurs, are Newcastle a bit big at 15-2?
A little bit. I mean, just to tell you a quick story, the very first time I did this podcast was four and a half years ago, and Newcastle were away at Spurs. I tipped them to win that day. I think it was a similar price, about 8-9-1. I also put them in a treble on the podcast with two other aways, and the treble came in at 500-1, would you believe? So there you go, and I'm going to
a typical punter there talking about the wins of all time.
I won't mention the other six appearances on the podcast in which I've tipped up losers, but I think that's a reasonably enticing price given that Spurs are stuttering. I see Son came back last night, and that makes a huge difference for them. But yeah, it's amazing. Now you refer to the feel good factor. Well, the feel-good factor has never been further away on sort of coming out of Saturday, the FA Cup defeat to Watford, and going into Tuesday's game. It's just amazing what football does. You spend a little bit of money, you couple of new faces in, you win a game against City in the nature that you do, and all of a sudden you're talking about going to Spurs and potentially winning. Listen, I think the chances are they still will probably lose. Don't forget, against the top six this season, Newcastle have played nine times now, and that was the first time on Tuesday against City they've taken any points. So know that they will be feeling better about themselves. Spurs are stuttering, as we said, but I still expect Spurs to win the game, I must admit.
What do you make of it, Derek?
Well, this new guy, I mean, I think Mike Ashley thought it was a shop. That's why he's paying $16 million for it. It sounds like a new fitness chain, doesn't it? The previous transfer record was a loan deal for Newcastle, so I'm not getting too worked up about that. And all these players that are being mentioned, I've never heard of any of them. So, you know, the feel-good factor is back. It remains to be seen. But they were great the other night against City. I don't think 15-2 is a big price for them, to be honest, to beat Tottenham. I'm not saying Tottenham are any great shakes at the moment. I mean, the only crumb of comfort for Spurs fans before midweek was that they weren't Arsenal fans. I don't think too many Arsenal fans are. But they did the business and they got Son back, and he was a bigger miss than Dele Alli in my eyes. I think he's a tremendous player, one of the most underrated in the Premier League. But 2-5, there's about three prices. I'd be made up to be a bookie this weekend because there are three heavy favourites in the Premier League, and I wouldn't touch any of them with a barge pole. Tottenham's one of them at 2-5. They're not a team you trust at 2-5. And it was interesting the gate at Wembley on in midweek. I think it was only 29,000, am I right, against Watford? I mean, that's an absolute shocker. I know the weather is awful, but come on. You know, it didn't seem like Huddersfield would get that. So I don't think all is well at Tottenham. I can't back them at 2-5, but Newcastle, they were great against City, no doubt about it, but I just can't see them following up. Tottenham haven't drawn all season. That's ridiculous. They've played 24 games. They should have drawn at least, well, six or seven now, going by the law of averages. So I'm playing the law of averages here and going for a draw.
Okay, going for the draw then. By the way, none of the last 20 Premier League matches between these two at Tottenham have ended in a draw. So perhaps we're due one, or perhaps that suggests that it might not happen. And Spurs could actually set a record here in the Premier League. They could become the team to go the longest without a draw. They're currently on 28 games in the Premier League without a draw. It would be 29, and that would be a new Premier League record should they not draw here. But Derek is going for them to draw on this occasion. One thing I looked at here is if Newcastle come out all guns blazing and fired up by what we've seen, but ultimately, you know, they run out a bit of steam, and the quality of Tottenham comes out, and also Tottenham have come from behind to win in the last two games. Could we be look maybe at something like draw at half time or Newcastle half time, Spurs to go on and win the game? That's like 25-1 for that to happen.
Well, I don't think they will. I think Newcastle will play the way Rafa plays best, you know, defensively, because you have a look at the fixtures this week. Man City at home, Spurs away, and thought, Christ, if we get no points, it'll be a result. They've got three already. If we come away with four after these two fixtures, it would just be, you know, they'd be doing jigs all season. So I think he'll go there and shut up shop. I think he was probably going to do that in midweek as well, and he did for long periods, but they were 1-0 down after 25 seconds, so they had to change things a little bit. Mm. I can't see them coming out now, and I'm not sure Spurs right now are a team that you'd want to be. I think they're going to find it hard to break Newcastle down. I think this will be a low scorer, definitely.
Yeah, that's a fair point as well, actually, Craig, isn't it? Because we've seen time and time again with Rafa against the bigger sides, he sets up to be hard to beat, and that's pretty much it, really.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I mentioned those eight previous outings against the top six. They'd only lost six of those by one goal. I mean, in a strange way, Rafa Benitez at times has even celebrated that, but, you know, being the goal difference champions gets you nothing, really. I know the logic whereby come the end of the season, it could be worth an extra point, but it is really sort of quite symbolic of where the club is at the moment and where it's been at this season, that you are championing narrow defeats. I mean, come on. But, yeah, I agree with Derek. I think this one will be a low scorer. Rafa will go there to try and at least improve on Tuesday and make it 30 seconds without conceding. I mean, that was just a shock, which in a strange way, like I said earlier, it killed City, but it also changed the mindset of Newcastle in for the better in many ways. It was almost like, well, that's that game plan out the window whereby we've got to be nervous and sit in and just pray we don't concede. We've got the concession out the way. Let's just relax a little bit more and play our own game. And I think in the end, it served them well. But yeah, I agree. I think it'll be low scoring. I think you could be looking at, I think the draw half-time, certainly Newcastle will be looking to get the half-time goalless. And then maybe he's nicked something from a set-piece late in the game, which has been the tactic, the master plan for all of these matches against the bigger clubs. Tuesday, of course, panned out a little bit differently. So yeah, a low scoring game, but I probably do still expect Tottenham to shade it.
Okay, Spurs then to shade it for Craig and a draw for Derek. Let's move on to the later game in the Premier League. 5:30 kickoff at the Cardiff City Stadium as the Bluebirds take on Bournemouth. Cardiff are 2-1, the draw 12-5. Bournemouth are 11-8. It's 5 without a win in all competitions for Cardiff coming into this. They've lost 4 of those, and their only point was against Huddersfield. Bournemouth have won their last two. They beat West Ham 2-0 at the weekend and tore Chelsea apart in the second half on Wednesday night to win 4-0. That was some second half performance. Cardiff struggle for goals as well. They're not doing very well at home. Everything points towards Bournemouth for me here, Derek, but there's the one caveat: they don't do well on the road.
Yeah, and the other caveat is they're only 11-8. Bournemouth, yeah, away from home in a Premier League match, you're back in the man 11-8. How bad must Cardiff be? Not that bad in my eyes. I mean, they're bad, but they're not that bad. And to be honest, they were very unlucky in midweek against the, you know, from what I gather, I haven't seen the highlights, but what I gather, they outplayed Arsenal for long periods. You know, Bournemouth needed those two results because they were just going nowhere. I mean, Eddie Howe, he gets off with some criminal results because he talks nice and looks like a school prefect. I mean, they went a million games without, you know, without getting a point, it seemed. In fact, there's about half a dozen teams in the Premier League who never seem to win, and they bounce around between 8th and 11th, never going anywhere, and Bournemouth are one of them. I don't know how it happens. You know what, you could give me four goals at this, and I still wouldn't be confident about predicting the outcome. I've said that about every match I preview, to be honest. It's a tough one to call. All I would say is that I can't be with Bournemouth at those kind of prices. I know there's a bit of a you know, despondency about Cardiff about from what's happened off the field, but on the pitch, they were great in midweek. I'm going to give them a go. I think they're overpriced here. Bournemouth are beatable. We've seen that. Everybody was beating them, you know, over Christmas and after. I've got to give Cardiff a go only because they shouldn't be that price to beat Bournemouth at home.
Okay, signing with Cardiff at 2-1. They've only scored one goal in the calendar year of 2019, which is a dreadful return. What do you make of it here, Craig? Could you lean either way?
I agree with Derek's assessment. If you are talking sort of 2-1, 9-4 for Bournemouth away from home, then perhaps you'd be tempted. Bournemouth are a team who either lose every week or they win every week. They start the season winning every week, get themselves to 7th. They then lose every week and only drop the 9th or 10th. That's just the nature of the Premier League. Burnley did it last year, of course. But listen, Bournemouth now, on the back of what happened against Chelsea, could be set for one of those winning rooms. They've certainly got some talented players going forward, the likes of King, Wilson. David Brooks was tremendous again last night, the 21-year-old. So, listen, if you removed the issue of this being a betting podcast and us attaching prices to our thinking, then I'd probably say Bournemouth win, given the form. But on the balance of the prices, and given that Cardiff have shown themselves to certainly have something at home this season. I mean, we probably expected them to be relegated already, as it turns out. You know, they're still in there fighting. So at the prices, you'd probably take Cardiff or a draw. But if I was removing all of that, then you'd probably say Bournemouth win. So I've somehow managed to cover all three bases there. So I'll be right with one of them.
Superb. That's brilliant. I'm going to take Bournemouth here. I think I know they're short. I know it's ludicrously short, but Cardiff just struggle for goals, and they've got a dreadful record against Bournemouth as well to add into the mix. Winless in 5 home matches against Bournemouth, which goes all the way back to a third tier clash back in 1994, and I think they could use the last couple of results as a springboard. Bournemouth, I think we might see a little bit better from them for the next few weeks. So I would just lean that way, but yeah, the prices make it tricky. Let's move on to Sunday's action and something that might be a little bit easier to figure out perhaps, or maybe not. Leicester against Manchester United, the first game on Sunday, 2:05 kickoff at the King Power. Leicester, of course, prevented Liverpool from going 7 clear, holding them to a draw on Wednesday night, and they can now put a spanner in the works of the Solskjaer revolution at Manchester United perhaps. In saying that, they don't have a good record against the Red Devils. Last 20 meetings between the pair, United have won 6 of them. 16 of them, rather, and Leicester have won only one. So they don't do well against Manchester United. Craig, how do you think they get on Sunday?
Well, they're a strange side, Leicester, because I look at the players they've got, and I think they're a wonderful team. I really do. I think they should be the best of the rest, really. You've got Watford in that position in 7th at the moment, I think. But, yeah, I think it should be Leicester who should be up there pushing to get back in the top 6. The likes of Madison, Maguire, Vardy. They've got a strong athletic midfield. They've got good fullbacks, Chilwell and Pereira. So you could see Leicester getting something against Manchester United. If Manchester United had won the other night against Burnley, you would probably just blindly be backing the Solskjaer juggernaut to roll on. But no, I think in this case, I fancy Leicester to get a result.
The Leicester, the prices here, by the way, 11-4 Leicester, draw 5-2. Manchester United are even money. I'm sure that even money will tempt a few people, Derek, given that given the start that Solskjaer has made. He's yet to lose since coming in and taking over. Such is the start that he's made, he can match one of Sir Alex Ferguson's runs of form. Should United win this, it'll be the first time they've won 5 consecutive away games since Fergie was in charge back in 2012. He's doing the right things, and they're getting results now, Manchester United.
Yeah, but I mean, as I said, you or I could have gone in there and improved Man United after all misery guts. But you've done nothing wrong. And you know, a lot of people will be tempted by those evens, but I won't be one of them, by that even money quote. I won't be one of them, because I thought we saw United's limitations against Burnley in midweek. I mean, he could easily have lost that game, couldn't he, apart from a late, a bit of a fluky equaliser. And that's Burnley at home you're playing against. You know, it does make you think, who have United beaten in that run of games Solskjaer has won? Yeah, OK, Tottenham, but Tottenham going off the boil then, and Arsenal in the cup, whoopie-doo. No, I'm not having them still. And I, what Craig said, he took the words right out of my gob, because I looked at that team sheet at Anfield last night, the Leicester team sheet, and I thought, jeez, that's a good team. You know, I actually thought, I know this sounds like hindsight, I thought they were actually worth a bet to win Leicester last night, because I'm not convinced by Liverpool at the moment. They haven't got a great record against United, obviously. But this is a decent team. I remember the first game of the season, remember that Friday night game, and the weekend of the season kicked off. Leicester went to Old Trafford. I think they lost 2-1, but I thought they were desperately unlucky to lose that. I can't work them out, because they've beaten Man City, they've beaten Everton, and they've drawn with Liverpool in the last half a dozen games. And they've lost to Cardiff, Newport, Southampton and Wolves. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All you can read into it is that they prefer it when they haven't got the ball. You know, they hit teams on the break. And there's an argument that says they won't have the ball, you know, that often against United if United are in this such great form. 11-4 it boils down to a Leicester team who I think are a very, very good team and will finish seventh. I think it's too big. I've got to go for Leicester.
Yeah, and they caused Liverpool plenty of problems. They had the better chances in that game in midweek. If you are leaning towards Leicester, the 11-4 looks good, of course. If you want a pro Leicester bet away from the 90 minutes, then do take a look at Jamie Vardy. Since the start of 2014-15, no player has scored more Premier League goals against Manchester United than Jamie Vardy. He's got four of them. We have enhanced odds as well. Vardy to score and Leicester to win. That was 5-1. That's been pushed out to 6-1. I just want to mention one player before we move on, and it seems like he's popping up all the time at the moment because of his turnaround in performances, and that's Paul Pogba. It seems to have been revived by Solskjaer. He's been involved in 53% of the 19 goals scored under the Norwegian's tenure. He's got 6 goals and 4 assists, and suddenly we're starting to see the Paul Pogba that we expected to see, Craig.
Well, we're seeing a better Paul Pogba, certainly, but in a strange way, that kind of irritates me. I think a footballer has got a responsibility to themselves, certainly one who was once the most expensive player in the world, a World Cup winner. I think you've got a responsibility to yourself to get the very best out of yourself every week. And if you need optimum conditions to perform, then for me, I'm sorry, you're not a top player. Look at Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, they did it week in, week out, no matter who was the manager, no matter the conditions, home, away, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, whatever you want to say. No, for me, I think Paul Pogba, we've seen what he's about in the last two and a half years. What happens when he gets bored of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? What happens if Mauricio Pochettino comes in? He doesn't like his tactics. For me, I'm not having the guy. I'm really not. He's playing better now, but yeah, so he should be. He's a £90 million World Cup winning midfielder. So when he could come back when he does that for 2 years running, he's on shortlists for PFA Player of the Year. But I'm not having him just picking up form during what's been a fairly easy run of games with a new manager.
Okay, not convinced then. And questioning the attitude there, Derek, would you agree with that?
Well, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I think he's an absolutely fantastic footballer and I would love him in the Liverpool team. I think he would walk in any team, to be honest. And he's one of those players, when I used to play football, I thought I'd hate to play against him. He would just monster you in every way and he's got everything in his locker. But yeah, you're right, it's down to under the manager because you don't like the cut of his jib. It is unacceptable. He's a tremendous player as well.
Anyway, we digress. The general opinion then that Leicester could be overpriced at 11-4 there as they take on Manchester United in the earlier game on Sunday. The late game, the 4:30 game, is a bit of a belter really. Manchester City against Arsenal. City 100-30 on. The draw is 24-5. Arsenal are 8-1. City's great run of form halted with that shock defeat away at St James's Park. Prior to that, they had 8 straight wins in all competitions and scored 33 goals in that time. In fact, they've got 25 goals in a row without reply at the Etihad. I suppose the question here, Derek, is which Arsenal turn up to play City? Because they are the definition of an Oxo club at the moment. One week they look good, one week they look terrible. Win-lose is their form at the moment. What do you make of this game on Sunday?
They've just signed Denis Suarez from Barcelona as well. I think they think it's Luis Suarez. Because the clue was when they asked to take him on loan, plus £1. I don't know too much about Suarez. I know he's played 71 games for Barcelona and he can't be a mug. And I've got an idea he'll strengthen Arsenal's side. I mentioned at the top of this broadcast about the odds for some hot favourites this weekend. I wouldn't be touching with counterfeit money. Well, Man City are another one of them. What are they? 1-3, is he? 1-3?
2-3? Yeah,
100-30 on, yeah. So. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's just like that. What happened on Tuesday night didn't happen. I watched them at Newcastle. I felt like I'd fallen asleep and woken up 8 years ago. They were absolutely appalling. This is a team that's supposed to be, not long ago, they were title favourites. I've come to the conclusion that they're the most overrated outfit since that safety pin one, that Liz Haley one. Because, the money they've spent over the last few years, if they don't win the title and the Champions League, given the money he spent, I think it's a big failure for him. That would mean, if they don't win either of them, it would mean he's won one league title and no Champions League in 3 seasons. And that's not much different to what Mancini and Pellegrini achieved. I mean, is he becoming a myth, Pep Guardiola? I know it's a knee-jerk reaction after losing at Newcastle because the form before him was pretty impressive. But that was a shockingly bad performance, and you're not allowed that when you're spending the money he's been spending. Arsenal, one of those funny, going back to the match itself, 8-1 Arsenal, I'm tempted. You know what my thoughts are of Arsenal? I think they're a pony side. But they are capable. They've got players capable of winning any game on any given day, and they're 8-1. Too big. I've got to go for them.
forget the question marks about Pep there. The big revelation in all of that was that you didn't rate Liz Hurley's dress.
Well, any woman that can pick Hugh Grant as a ball, you've got a questionnaire. You've got a questionnaire in mindset.
I think the point raised there is quite an interesting one, Craig. That you know, perhaps things aren't quite all right with Pep and City, because they've lost four of their last 9 Premier League games, I think it is, and that's as many as their previous 72 games combined. Is there suddenly a problem at the Etihad?
Well, yeah, I mean, the debate at the moment is Mauricio Pochettino judged at Tottenham on the trophies of wins or not, or is he judged on progress and making Tottenham compete? Now, you can come down on either side of that debate. But when it comes to Pep Guardiola absolutely has to be judged on the trophies he returns. Forget pretty patterns, forget playing inverted fullbacks and all the rest of it. You know, he is judged, as Mancini and Pellegrini ultimately were, on trophies returned. And at the moment, he's only really on a par with those guys. He's got this season to be measured over the third season. And as you quite rightly say, if he emerges from this year with only the one Premier League major title still to his name, then yeah, I think you probably could say that he's failed during the first 3 years of his tenure there. In terms of the isolation of Sunday's game, now, if Newcastle are 7.5 to 1, 15-2 to win at Spurs, and Arsenal are 8-1 to win at City, I know which one I would rather be on in terms of value there. Absolutely, Arsenal can go at City and win. Now, do I expect it? No, but if I've got a five to throw at Sunday's game and I'm sitting down to enjoy it and I want my money riding somewhere for a little bit of interest, then at 8-1, you'd have it on Arsenal. Don't forget, they've got Aubameyang, they've got Lacazette, they've got guys at the moment who are in form and who are scoring goals. So absolutely they can go there and cause what would be a mini upset, if you like. Because I was there, as I alluded to at the top of the show, I was there on Tuesday night and the City were no great shakes at all. There's clearly an issue with Kevin De Bruyne at the moment. We understand he's a little unhappy that he's not being allowed to see games out. He wants to find his rhythm ahead of the Champions League matches returning later this month. So there are one or two problems. Sergio Aguero scored the goal and then didn't do a great deal. Leroy Sané was up against a fullback in DeAndre Yedlin, who a lot of clubs this season have targeted. Now, a lot of clubs have got a lot of joy out of, yet Leroy Sané didn't really get much at all. So, yeah, listen, they're not firing. Of course they're not. And Pep was very touchy when we spoke to him afterwards in the press conference. So there are one or two cracks beginning to appear. So, yeah, my money would be on Arsenal on Sunday, especially at 1.
OK, interesting. Both pundits going for Arsenal then. Couple of players to mention in there as well. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored his 25th Premier League goal for Arsenal against Cardiff in midweek. That means he's reached that number faster than any other Gunners player in Premier League history. So you think back to Ian Wright and Thierry Henry and such, and he's got there quicker, which is some stat. Him to score and Arsenal to win, if you fancy being really greedy here, that was 12-1. That's now 16-1, so a big, big price about that. If you're leaning towards City and you want a goal scorer or something to make the price better, about them, take a look at Sergio Aguero to score and City to win. That was 17-20. That's now even money. He's got a great record against Arsenal. He's scored 7 in his last 11 games against the Gunners. He's been the scourge of Arsenal in recent seasons. But ultimately, both pundits going for the Gunners. Let's move on to Monday night then, the final game, final televised game of this Premier League game week. 8 o'clock kickoff at the London Stadium, as West Ham take on Liverpool. West Ham 7-1. The draw is 17-4. And Liverpool are 4-11. They did extend their lead to 5 points at the top of the Premier League. But we've already mentioned they didn't really look themselves when drawing 1-1 with Leicester. Good thing for them, I suppose, is that they've got a great record in this fixture recently. They've won their last 4 against the Hammers. And they've scored 4 goals in each of those wins. This is a fixture that Liverpool seemingly love, Derek.
Yeah. Well, they won. Two big wins they've won there the last couple of seasons. But again, you know, Craig hit the nail on the head when he compared Arsenal's price with Newcastle's price at Spurs. You know, which would you rather have? Well, I'll throw this one into the mix. West Ham are 7-1 to beat Liverpool at home. I'd rather be on that of the three of them. Liverpool are the third of the unholy trio, by the way, of favourites. I wouldn't want to touch with a barge pole. You'd only back me if you didn't see them on there the other night, and if you didn't see them against Crystal Palace. They've been riding a lot, Liverpool, for a large part of this season. Maybe it's just beginning to turn, given that a couple of decisions didn't go their way. Now, it's a big leap of faith to back West Ham,
given their recent form. I mean, they're losing to battered by Wolves, pretty much battered by Wimbledon. Their form is shocking. They're the great unpredictables, proven more expensive to follow than my tips this season, which is saying something. You just don't know what to expect from them. Even their manager, Pellegrini, had a new haircut this week for the first time in 60 years. I wouldn't touch them if this was a normal price for them. I wouldn't touch them. 7-1 to beat a Liverpool side that are not firing on all cylinders. Salah and Firmino were an absolute disgrace in midweek. Shaqiri wasn't much better. And that was at home. Too big West Ham, that's all it is. Obviously, if you put a gun to my head, in all those instances we mentioned, I'd say, yeah, Man City would beat Arsenal. Tottenham would beat Newcastle. Liverpool would beat West Ham. But this is a betting broadcast. We've got to be guided by the odds. And these odds are ridiculous. West Ham have got to be backed. Liverpool, I can't imagine anybody with two brain cells as a punter would back Liverpool at these odds.
Yeah, the market does make you lean towards West Ham. The thing that sticks in my head, I mean, you could stick another couple of points on that for me. And the way that West Ham played last time, they were abject. They didn't register a single shot on target against Wolves. You mentioned the FA Cup performance before that. I'm still not convinced even at 7-1. What do you make of it, Craig?
Listen, I'm not convinced by West Ham, but they've got match winners. I saw them up at Newcastle. They were tremendous that day. Felipe Anderson was absolutely outstanding. Declan Rice in the middle of midfield. I also covered a report of Ireland national team, and I've seen him, albeit play fleetingly, the three friendly appearances he made last year. But he's a wonderful player. So there's certainly potential there. And I agree. Listen, this is a betting podcast. West Ham at 7-1 at home against the Liverpool team, who are just beginning to stutter. And you just get the impression Liverpool are holding everything together right now. And there will come a day when all that falls apart. Listen, Monday night, big crowd. It's going to be cold in front of a live television audience under the lights. West Ham's fans will certainly be bang up for it. I think 7-1 is a price you've got to take. I've just done a quick calculation there. It's the three big price away teams we discussed, Arsenal, Newcastle, and West Ham at home, of course. It's a 611-1 treble. So there you go. For a fiver, you're going to get $3,000 back if those three come in.
Well, when you put it like that.
Yeah, it's easy money, isn't it? I wouldn't back Liverpool at the price, who will probably win if we remove prices from it again. And yeah, probably Liverpool. But no, at the price, I think West Ham have got to be backed because they are capable of winning and they are overpriced.
Okay, 7-1 West Ham, overpriced then in the opinion of both of our pundits. So look at the televised games there then in the Premier League. Before we get stuck into best bets, let's have a little glance across Europe and get a best bet on the continent from Alex Dunn.
On the European front this week, there's a standout bet in France where Bordeaux host Guingamp. Guingamp struggling at the bottom of the table. Bordeaux not having a fantastic season, if truth be told. Won 7, drawn 7, and lost 7 coming into this game. But they do have a good record at home, Bordeaux. They don't lose many games at home, and their home record against Guingamp is superb. The last time that Guingamp came here and won was in the year 2000. But the main selling point for me is that if you look at Guingamp's form on the road, you actually look at their last few games and go, hey, do you know what? That's not too bad. But the games they've been winning on the road have been in the cup. Domestically, their away form is shocking, and in their last away game in the league, they lost 9-0 at PSG. I don't think that's incoming here, but they are the lowest scorers on the road so far this season in France, joint with Amiens. They've scored just 6 goals in 11 games away from home, so I'm taking Bordeaux to win 2-0.
Let's move on to best bets, shall we? You can have the entire fixture list in the Premier League for this weekend. You don't just have to focus on those 5 games that we've gone through there. Best bet for yourself, Craig?
Well, listen, I joked that I was going to back Newcastle again at the top of the show there, but then sort of came down siding with Spurs, and I still stick with that. I've seen an awful lot of Newcastle recently. I hadn't got a great deal of confidence in them, as good as they were on Tuesday night. It was a strange sort of game. I still would fancy Spurs. Tell you what, I'm going to go for treble. I'm going to take, I think, the Leicester 11-4 at home to Man United is a good price. I think Arsenal at 7-8 was it, and West Ham at 7s, I think, are 2 or 3 good prices, 3 overpriced teams, shall we say. So I'm going to go with the treble there. I'm not entirely sure what that pays. It'll probably be 200, 300 to 1. So, yeah, that's my best bet.
Okay, going for a treble is the nap. That's ambitious, to say the least, perhaps. What about yourself, Derek?
This means that we're going to put Craig 3 and R2 in a five-timer. That'll take it up a bit, wouldn't it? I'm going to go for Fulham, 11-4, to win at Crystal Palace. I like what I saw from him midweek after they'd gone two down. I've seen him a few times this season, Fulham. I think it was last week I made the mistake after watching them a few times early in the season of backing them a lot on a number of occasions because they were a better side than their points tally implied, and they just kept getting pasted and pasted and pasted. They cost me a fortune. But maybe that was a turning point in midweek. I'm not going to say they're staying up, but they're too big at 11-4 to beat Crystal Palace, whose main man, I think, is suspended now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Zaha, you know, and without him, the toilet Crystal Palace. I like the look of Arsenal 8-1. That was almost in it. And Leicester 11-4. Again, I wouldn't argue with either of those two. But I think Fulham get my vote. Too big to win at Palace.
Okay, I'll go with Wolves away at Everton. Wolves going all right at the moment. I know they seem to be good against the good sides and poor against the poorer sides. But I'm not convinced by Everton. I think they're on a bit of a crest of a wave at the minute, Wolves, and they're 11-5 on the market in front of me. So I think that's perfectly tempting enough for Wolves. If we put those five together, so what was it? Was it West Ham, Arsenal, Leicester, Fulham and Wolves? Was that the five?
That's it, yeah.
Listen to this. 3,326-1 for that fivefold.
Easy money. Little tenner on that. What is it? 30 grand.
Yeah, 33 grand, yeah. Nice.
Lovely. I'm in my Cayman Islands residence next week, should that come in.
Thank you very much, fellas. Been an absolute pleasure. Very best of luck and enjoy it this weekend.
Why don't we go one step further? Back those teams to win, but both teams to score as well.
Yeah. I think we're getting carried away.
Yeah, a little bit.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, lads.
Okay, thank you.
Now let's talk best bets in the Football League. Pete Farries will give us his pick in the Championship. Gav Puchalowski looks at League One and Al Ross takes care of League Two.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my nap in the Championship this week, there was one bet that really stood out. Wigan and QPR are both struggling in terms of form, neither picking up many wins. Wigan boss Paul Cook, under some pressure to keep hold of a couple of good players as well, has improved his side's fortunes. For QPR, they've had some good runs and some poor runs so far this season, but none of this form matters, because for me, the bet is over 2.5 goals at 6-5. It's landed in 4 of the last 5 Wigan home games, it's landing plentiful in their matches generally, and while it's a little less prevalent in QPR matches, they are at least conceding plenty, just ask Preston, and still managing to score. These two sides will go at each other for me, and overs is a definite play. I'm stunned to see it at 6-5, so that is my nap in the Championship. Over 2.5 goals at 6-5 between Wigan and QPR. That's the Championship from me. Let's hear from Gav Puchalowski on League One.
I'm shying away from choosing a team to win this weekend in League One because no team, no price really jumps out to me. But my nap focuses around Portsmouth at home to Doncaster Rovers. Now, Portsmouth are evens to win at home at Fratton Park, and they've lost the last 3 games straight in League One, so that's not a certainty. But over 2.5 goals is the same price at evens. Bearing in mind that Doncaster Rovers, their last 7 games over 2.5 goals has landed in all 7, and more times than not, over 3.5 goals has been landing as well, and it's landed 5 times in 7 for Portsmouth over 2.5 goals. Recently lost 3-2 away at Luton, 2-1 defeat at Oxford, at home fairly recently, couple of victories against Sunderland 3-1 and Wimbledon by 2-1. We'll ignore the fact that it finished 0-0 at the Keep Moat earlier this season between these two sides. The 4 previous meetings between Portsmouth and Doncaster were all over 2.5 goals. So at evens, over 2.5 goals is my shout between Portsmouth and Doncaster Rovers. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Swindon have been given a prayer at home to Forest Green Rovers this week. That is wrong. Forest Green are 29-20. My job is done. Swindon won their opening 2 home League Two matches this season. They also beat Stevenage in November and Newport at the start of December. That is it. The only 2 other home wins this season from 15 games. They've picked up more points away than they have at home. And Forest Green, best away record in this division bar none. Swindon at home 18 points, Forest Green away 29. So maybe this 29-20 price is based on recent form. It's not though, because only Bury The best team in the league right now have beaten Forest Green in their last 10, in which time, by the way, they have 21 points, 7 points from their last 3. As for Swindon, 13 points from the last 10, 3 of which came in the last home win 10 games ago. The last 3 games, just 4 points. And forget the transfer window, Christian Deutsch is back. Bolton took him from Forest Green on loan, shenanigans happened. He's back and has scored 3 in 5 since and is somehow 2-1 any time. Take that. But mostly, take 29-20 on Forest Green.
Well, that just about does it then for this week. Thank you very much to Craig and Derek there. Thank you to Alex Dunn, Pete Farries, Gav Pushilovsky and Al Ross as well. Plenty of bets on another big weekend of football. Do check out those enhanced odds, your odds, bet boosts and all those other good things on the William Hill website as well. Very best of luck with your bets and enjoy this weekend's football.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.